as a voice cries out in the silence, searching for a heart that will love him, longing for a child that will give him their all, give it all, he wants it all. And there's a God that walks over the earth, he's searching for a heart that is desperate, and longing for a child that will give him their all, give it all, he wants it all. And he said, love me, love me with your whole heart, he wants it all today. Serve me, serve me with your life now, he wants it all today. Bow down, let go of your idols, he wants it all today, he wants it all today, he wants it all today, he wants it all. And there's a God that walks over the earth, he's searching for a heart that is desperate, longing for a child that will give him their all, give it all, he wants it all. And he says, love me
Christ Ministries Blog Talk Radio Bible Reading Class. My name is Kathy Clyburn, and I will be your teacher for the lesson text from Matthew 20, 1 through 16. That is Matthew 20, 1 through 16. We thank God for each and every one of you who tune in regularly, and we ask that you let someone else know about this Bible reading class. We will open the phone lines for you to answer the questions or make comments. And all you have to do is press 1 to enter the host queue, and you can, press 1 to open the host queue. And then you can get the information and the questions and the book from runnerforchristministries.org. If you want to continue to participate and have a book so that you can read along with us, that's runningforchristministries.org. Please keep all the background noise to zero. So if you are not speaking or commenting, then mute your mic until you are ready to speak, and then that will eliminate all the background noise, okay? So let us pray. Father God, we just thank you. We thank you for this day. We thank you for life, love, fellowship, and friendship. Lord, we just thank you for the opportunity to teach your word. We thank you for the listeners, the participators, the hearers and doers of your word. Lord, allow us to receive the message in your lesson today, and commit to follow you in your ways. Amen. Okay. So, like I said, the title of our lesson is God's Gracious Reward. God's Gracious Reward. And like I said, the lesson text is Matthew 21 through 16. Who we have out there?
Sister Rebecca.
Well, wonderful, wonderful. Okay, so all that's listening out, if somebody wants to read the, okay, if somebody wants to read the golden text for us, get us going.
It's Mother Irma. Go ahead.
The man said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. Matthew chapter 20, verse 4. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Eric, for that. Okay, now we can start our lesson with the scripture lesson text, and that's on page 55. So do someone want to volunteer to read that part, Matthew 1, 21 through 16, the scripture lesson text.
Okay.
Scripture reads Matthew 20 and 1, for the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. Again, he went out about the sixth and ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle and said unto them, why stand ye here all the day idle? They said unto him, because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, go ye also into the vineyard. And whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. So when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard said unto his steward, call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house, saying, these last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst thou not agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is and go thy way. I will give unto this last even as unto thee. It is not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own. Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first last. For many be called, but few chosen. Amen.
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 Amen. Thank you, Mother Irma. Thank you for that. Okay, I'm going to give a little introduction. It says, Jesus took pictures from everyday life to help his hearers understand how God works with people. By using familiar things in life, Jesus enabled a wide range of people to comprehend the truth that he wanted them to learn. The parable of the laborers in the vineyard teaches that what we receive from God is due solely to his grace. The teaching of the Pharisees was that people could earn God's favor by their righteous deeds. Jesus' story demonstrated that God compensates people according to his own goodness. When the laborers who had toiled before they complained that they should receive more than those who had worked for only a short time, the owner answered them. They had received what they were promised. As the owner, he could treat others graciously if he so chose. Okay, so we're going to go to page 56, and we're going to read about the lesson exposition. And the outline is call to the laborers, Matthew 21-7, compensation for the laborers, Matthew 28-10, complaint by the laborers, 20:11-16. So someone want to first take that first lesson, call to the laborers, on page 56?
All right.
Sure. Deacon, I must rather you go.
Young lady, I've read once. I can wait.
Okay. Do you want me to start with the scriptures she just read or start with the Gospel of Matthew?
It's on page 56, so it says first shift the laborers, the lesson exposition.
56.
Call to the laborers. Mm-hmm.
Call to the laborers, Matthew chapter number 20, verses 1 through 7. First shift of laborers, Matthew 20, verses 1 and 2. The Gospel of Matthew contains numerous parables that Jesus used in his teaching ministry to clarify what he was teaching. Many of the parables began, "For the kingdom of heaven is like." These stories describe what is involved in living under God's rule. The parable in this passage tells of a man who owned a large vineyard. At harvest time, he needed a number of laborers to pick the grapes. So he went out early in the morning to hire his workers. The standard wage for work like this was a penny a day, quote unquote, verses 2, or a denarius per day. The man and the laborers agreed to these terms, and he sent them into the vineyard at the beginning of the workday, which was about 6 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, man. Okay. So, parables. And what do, parables teach, and like I said, it teaches and clarifies what God wants us to know, like a story. If he was, you know, ever, and we all were young people, our parents would give us stories about something that they wanted us to remember in our future. And so those were, that's what parables are. It's for teaching and describing, and it's just a story that we will remember that will help us in our future. And so in that paragraph,
I thought the parable was when it was the people who believed in Jesus or who believed in God, however you want to word it, would cause them a reason to inquire
I was just telling you the definition of a parable, which is, you know, like just a short and simple story that teaches a religious or moral lesson. But like the parable of the Good Samaritan, the parable of a prodigal son, those, you know, are just some examples of parables that was recorded in the gospel. So it's just a simple short story. I was just telling you what a parable is, so you know that's what it is. Because,
okay.
And
would you say it's an earthly story with a heavenly meaning?
Because you have to, just the stories, it's the same thing as if someone told you a story, and the stories that Jesus told, he wants you to be able to follow his lead. You have to walk in his way and his light in order to, be amongst his kingdom. Because it says, for the kingdom of heaven is like, okay? And these stories describe what is involved in living under God's rule. Okay, so those are the stories, and he's going to give you parables and stories so that you will learn and be able to follow, you know, what he says. Okay.
So bottom line, it teaches a spiritual lesson is what you're saying.
Yes. Yeah, it's all spiritual, yeah. It's our walk with Jesus. It's our walk. Yeah.
Okay.
For the kingdom of heaven, it's like these stories that describe what is involved in living under God's rule. Yeah. So, like if your parents tell you not to do something or tell you to do something, you're going to, you know, either you're going to listen or you're not. And if you want to be under God's rule or you want to do what your parents do up under their home, the instructions that they give you, you know, you're following the instructions, okay? And that's for living under God's rule, living a kingdom life.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And so this parable talked about the a man who owned a large vineyard and harvest family. He needed somebody to workers to pick the grapes in his vineyard, and he promised them a certain amount of money that they would get, a penny, a denaro per day. In this day, how much is a penny worth, and how many times can you slice a penny or spin a penny in these days? So a denarius, let's see. But I think it was probably worth more than that. I meant to look that up. But, but they said a penny. So I guess a penny back then was a whole lot of money. Okay. Well, it was more than what it is today, okay? And so that's what he did. He had a vineyard, and he needed somebody to pick his grapes in the vineyard in a timely manner because, you know, grapes, they don't last long. It's a certain amount of time that they need to be picked so that they won't spoil. So we're going to move on to the next one. And then that'll bring more discussion as far as why he did what he did as far as, carrying on as far as the understanding of the lesson. Okay, so that just talked about the beginning, and he needed his workers to pick his grapes, okay, and what he had paid them to do it. So we keep all that in mind, and then we're going to go to the second shift of labor. It's Matthew 23:4. Would someone like to read that?
Yes, I'll read. Second shift of labor, Matthew 20, verses 3-4. After a few hours, the man realized that he needed more laborers. He went back to the marketplace around the third hour, or 9 o'clock, and found some men there who were willing to work. Instead of agreeing on a set wage for them, the man promised to give them whatever was right. Amen? Or should we, that's it?
Amen, that's it. Yeah, that's the third and fourth shift. So he needed more laborers. And so he went back to the marketplace around the third hour, like they said, or 9 o'clock, and found some men, more men willing to work. He didn't give them or promise them the same amount that they gave the the first shift of laborers, which was a denarius per day. Okay. He just told them whatever is right, whatever is right.
So what a fair wage was for that day is what he was doing.
Pardon?
He was giving them a fair day's wage.
Right. Whatever actually is going to be is whatever was in his heart and purpose and mind, you know. He was he had all this land. He had a good harvest that year. You know, you could think of it as having a bonus yourself. You know, if you get some extra money, what are you going to do with it? Are you going to just keep it all to yourself? And you say, I got some extra money. I'm going to bless somebody. So we'll get to that later. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, he needed more people, and so he more workers, and so he went back out to the place where he got the other laborers, and he just promised them whatever was right. Okay, y'all come on work for me for whatever is right. Are we willing to go and just work for somebody and say whatever is right, we're going to give you at the end of this shift or whatever, okay? So we're going to keep on reading. Okay, will somebody read the third and fourth shifts of laborers?
I will. It's from Matthew 20, verse 5. Mm-hmm. At noon and then again at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the owner went back to the marketplace to get more workers. Each time he found more available laborers to join those already in the vineyard. With these later shifts of laborers, he made the same vague agreement that he had made with the second shift.
Amen.
Yep. And so more. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so more of the same. He gave them the same agreement as he did the second shift, whatever is right. Now, remember the first shift. Received work like this was a average wage. The standard wage for that work was a penny, so they or a denarius per day. So they got a denarius, the man in labor. They agreed to those terms, which is the denarius per day. Okay, so remember that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So each time he found more available workers, people were still there waiting and willing to work. Okay, so they joined his team. Okay, so the final shift of laborers. I'll read that. Final shift of laborers, Matthew 26 through 7. The work day in ancient Israel ended around 6 o'clock in the evening, just 1 hour before the end of the day. The owner recruited a final shift of workers. Once again, he did not set a specific wage for them. Okay? The same scenario. Did not set a specific wage. He went and got more workers because, like I said, those grapes needed to be plucked or picked or bagged at a certain amount of time, because they would spoil. So you can kind of imagine, I'm going to go get more workers because I don't want my fruit to spoil, my harvest to spoil. And so he went and got recruited more workers for that final shift, and they got it done, okay? And you know, he had his reasons, and we could understand that. Okay. But they were willing to work. They didn't have to agree to it. They didn't have to say, okay, well, I'll do it, or they didn't have to agree to that. But they came out and they did. Okay. Compensation for the laborers, Matthew 28 through 10. Someone want to read that?
Okay. It reads like this. Procedure for wages, Matthew 20, verse 8. When evening came, the owner gave his stewards specific instructions about paying the laborers. This was a payday that was certain to be remembered by all the workers.
Okay. Yep. Procedural wages. So he had a person that he called the steward that was to give pay the laborers instruction, his instructions, specific instructions about paying. And like I said, it will be a day that people will remember, that will be remembered. Okay, so, okay, let me see.
That's definitely be remembered.
Mm-hmm, yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can pay them kind of wages for a little bit of work. You'll definitely remember doing that.
Definitely, yeah. So, okay, well, we're going to go on and then we can talk about it because it's, you know, it tells a story and it has, you know, a message in it in the end. Okay. Okay, payment to the final shift. Someone want to read that? Payment to the final shift, Matthew 29.
The first group to be paid were those who had begun last. No doubt they were prepared to receive about 1/12 of a denarius, the proportional rate for their labor. When this last shift of workers came to the steward, they were amazed at the wage they received. The owner had authorized them to get a full day's wage, a denarius. This was 12 times what they expected or deserved. The owner had compensated them according to his goodness, not according to what they had earned. Yes, that's why I said they would never forget it, because they got paid so swell for doing 1 hour's worth of work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the mother and the people who started at the beginning had worked 12 hours. Yeah.
Right. And so I guess he was grateful that they even came because they didn't have to.
Exactly.
Because, I mean,
exactly.
Yeah, if he didn't have enough people to pick that harvest, then he might have lost. He might have had a spoiled crop. You know, a lot of it might have spoiled because they had to get that done in a certain amount of time, like I said. And so they didn't have to agree to come and work, but they did. They did agree to come and work. And so okay, so he did give them the full rate of the whole denarius. What?
Now, that just reminds me, we used to stand on the corner sometimes on Salyette, and sometimes people would come by. Actually, one of the members of our church, their granddaddy would come, hey, y'all ain't doing that. Come on, pass out these handbills. And I don't know who or how we were paid, but I do remember that, what you're saying about standing on the corner, somebody picking you up to work. Yeah, that's it. That's all I had.
That's good. Yeah, see, you can relate. All these stories that happen, we can relate to them in some kind of way. Somebody can relate to something that happens in this Bible. It's just a teaching. it's just teaching and just life teachings, life lessons. Okay. Let me see. What did you read up to, Eric?
Up to the child, we'll be payment to the first shift.
Okay, so you put according to what they had earned. Okay. Payment. Okay, Chinese. Okay,
yeah,
so payment to the first
page
year.
57.
Okay, so. All right, so yeah, they got more than they expected. They got more than they deserved, you know. Our eyes, they got more than they deserved, but. In this, the owner, he compensated them according to his goodness because he had an excellent crop, and so he was blessed. I take it that he was blessed, and so he had more. And so I think I read in here where it said that you know, a lot of them, they were, you know, they weren't that wealthy, and they were, you know, poor and they had families. And so he looked at it as, well, they got families to feed and they have, you know, responsibilities. So I'm just going to bless them, you know, and give them more and give them the same because I was blessed. Well, he was blessed. And so he blessed others and he thought about their situation.
That might be true,
situation.
But he did say he was going to give them a day's fair wage, and a day's fair wage was a denarius. So whatever long was you worth, you still got a day's pay for what you did, from the 1 hour people to the 3 hours, the 6 hours. They all got a denarius because that's what the first person said that's what he was giving them. The first group he hired, but then after that, he just said a fair day's wage, which was a denarius.
Right. He said whatever is right. He said whatever is right. So it's his decision, you know, to give them the same wage, you know, because it says the owner had compensated them according to his goodness, not according to what they had earned. It was according to his goodness. So it was being good and listening to God. You know, sometimes God will tell you, if you got more, if you got something, you know, you've been blessed. God will put it in your heart to share with somebody else.
Part.
And it's up to you if you're going to really share. You know, if you want, you know, to continue to be blessed. He blessed you, and he will tell you specifically who to give it to. But it's up to you. You know what I mean? So he, out of his goodness, and out of what God had blessed him with his, a good crop, and he had more money than he could need to that earn that he could give them that whole denarius. So he wanted to be good. He wanted to share. He appreciated them. He had to make sure that his crop was going to get picked. And then the first shift, they worked a longer time, but they still had to get that work done.
They got what they agreed.
He got them.
They agreed.
Yeah, he gave them the help. He gave them the help that they needed, you know, in order to get that work done. Okay, so okay. Now payment to the first shift. Would someone like to read that?
The first shift of workers knew what the group that had worked for only 1 hour had received. As they came before the steward, they reasoned that they would certainly receive more. If the last shift had been surprised to get a full denarius, the first shift was stunned by receiving the same amount. The steward gave them exactly what they had agreed to as a wage, no less and no more, although in their own mind they supposed that they would receive more than the wages they had agreed to. That was not, in fact, the case.
I like that last part.
Right, and so I guess if we look at it in our time and look at it now and kind of go where they are and put ourselves in their shoes and say, well, wow, we really worked hard. You know, we worked from the sun up to sun down, and they still got the same amount that we got, that we received. So we would look at that as a complaint and say, well, God, that was bold, that was wrong, whatever like that, you know, but they did get what they were promised. They didn't get less. They got, you know, exactly what they were promised. Okay, so I'm trying to see, was that the fairness? Okay. Yeah. So, like I said, we could look at it and be disappointed. And can you imagine?
I would be disappointed. I've been working since 9 o'clock, 6 o'clock, and I'm only gonna get one. They've been working since 4 o'clock.
And they got one. Oh, I'm hot.
Right. Yeah.
I probably wouldn't get hired. I'm going to let the guy know.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that's what he did. And so, because they were stunned that they was receiving the same amount. They just knew they were going to get more. They was like, you know, like, oh, I know we're going to get more. And so it kind of surprised them that he gave them exactly all the same, and which was what they had agreed to. So no less and no more. Yeah. And so, like I said, it was in their minds that they were supposed that they would receive more. But they did get what they were that what was agreed to. So we're gonna find out in this lesson, you know, how that ends and how it works. So complaint by the laborers. Someone want to read that?
Okay. All right. Charge of
materials. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, go ahead. I was just reading the title, Charge of Unfairness. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yes, it's Matthew chapter 20, verses 11 and 12. The first shift laborers began to grumble. The workers who had started later in the day had received much more per hour than they had, to their way of thinking. It seemed only right that they should be paid a bonus. The earlier workers were offended that the latecomers were treated as well as they. Instead of rejoicing for the others, they insisted that those who had worked just 1 hour had no right to be compensated as the owner had determined. Consequently, those who had labored all day began to criticize the owner, accusing him of being unjust and unfair in his dealing. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And so,
I feel what he feels, but you know, he gives you, you know, he can give you what he wants. He's the owner, and if he wants to give everybody the same thing, he can. I guess that's the same thing. God give us what he wants us to have. Jesus him, what they want us to have. Well, we feel like we might should have others because we see others with other things.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes
you
may get that feeling you being treated unfair and real, but I've learned everybody's not going to get the same thing.
Right.
And they say some are called, some are. Go ahead.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They protested and, you know, start to criticize them. And, you know, we could look at that, you know, how that would go here. You know, they would really be angry. It might, a fight might ensue or something like that, you know, or they might walk off, might not come back again. But we're going to read on and then read on to the end. And so we can go to the questions and just kind of answer all of these questions and find out what God wants us to know with this, okay? So,
yes,
complaint. Mm-hmm. So, choice of grace. That we are rejoicing for. Wait.
Okay, choice of grace.
Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. You go ahead, Mother.
I wonder where you went. All right, choice of grace, Matthew chapter 20, verses 13, 14. Apparently the owner took one of the first shift workers aside to talk with him because they had received the complete wage to which they had agreed. Their charge of injustice could not be sustained. The owner had not defrauded them at all. He urged the worker to take his denarius and go his way rather than complain about it.
Mm-hmm. And so, so they, going back, the first crew, they were, offended. And instead of being glad for them and rejoicing for them, decided to complain about it. So the owner, like you said, took them aside. You know, it didn't say in here that they had an argument or anything, so he took them aside and probably took them aside peacefully and just let them know the facts and the truth of the whole matter. And just kind of sent them on his way. Just go with what I give you, what you had earned, and that we had promised and made the decision that they agreed to, and go on about your business. Because he let them know, I haven't defrauded you. I've given you what you earned, what you agreed to. And like I said, instead of them being, you know, happy for the later workers or rejoicing and just being glad that they came and helped out, you know, they came and helped out because they didn't have to, and that might have made them have to do everything the whole day. And they were able to get done probably fairly early because they got more help. Like I said, the other workers, they came without hesitation. We're going to give you, you know, what is right. They didn't know what was right, what that meant, but they came. And sometimes if we don't step out on faith, if we don't step out and help and do what we're asked to do, then we'll miss out on the blessing. We'll miss out on the blessing. So let's keep reading. Challenge to gratitude.
Okay. Challenge to gratitude. Mm-hmm. Matthew 20, verses 15 and 16. The first workers spoke in terms of justice, but the owner gave in terms of grace. By their grumbling, the first workers were in effect saying that the owner was wrong for showing grace to others. Jesus concluded the parable with the important lesson the story illustrated. So the last shall be first and the first last. Verse 16. This reminded the disciples that while there is reward for faithful service to God, they must not think about it in strictly human terms. God gives freely according to his grace. Amen.
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 I knew we would get to that conclusion, but the things I was saying, those are just how my days, that's how I was in the past. I would have been upset about like they was. I did all that work and I'm getting the same wages. Mm-hmm. But like you said, God gives his grace the way he do. That man has the same right.
Everybody gets the same salvation. Okay.
Right.
Nobody's salvation is any less. God doesn't love anybody less than he loves anybody more. Wherever he finds us, whenever he finds us, in life, you know, some folks like the thief on the cross, a lot of people, if they had heard that conversation Jesus was having with him, especially the disciples who were scared to death and on the run, they'd have probably been like, really? This guy gets to go to heaven before us? Did you just tell him today and we're going to have to stay here? And you told me they want to sift me like wheat and all that stuff, so... Yeah, he was, you know, he's last-minute Mike. At the last minute of his life, he comes in talking about, well, when you come into your kingdom, remember me. But from having to write that first book I wrote or having the pleasure to write it, I'll never forget that part where Jesus had me to go to every gospel and follow that conversation. And when I did, I'm like, well, Jesus, wait a minute. He was with the other guy ragging on you. And all of a sudden, he turned, and you saved him. He said, yeah, he'll be the first person in paradise. Can you imagine that, a thief? If that is not this story right here, the last verse.
Yeah.
So what we do for God, you know, that, you know, you lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. You know, use the stuff
right.
God gave you to gain friends, get worldly wealth, and, you know, be welcomed, right? But as far as salvation goes, everybody gets the same. So your salvation ain't no better than my salvation. It's all the same. God don't love you no more than he loved me. No matter where we are in our walk or spiritual growth. But I've always loved this story because the Lord is trying to prep us. It might be some thieves on the cross or some people who you didn't think was going to be in heaven because they was super duper crazy wicked. But at the last minute of their life, they gave their life to Christ. I once preached a man's home going on that, based on that premise, that what got me about the thief on the cross is how many people literally heard that conversation, because if you judge the distance and the crowd had to be making noise, you probably couldn't hear their conversation. But this man was the other thief, though, you know, the proximity he had to it, he heard it, okay, but he didn't repent or at all accept Jesus. But I don't believe the crowd heard this whole conversation. And but imagine if they did, after all they had gone through with Jesus, and here this guy who's a thief, probably stole from a Roman. I'm pretty sure he stole from a Roman because, you know, like Pilate told him, go and judge him with your own laws. They didn't care, right, as long as it didn't violate the Pax Romana. So he had to do something to Rome, and he really did it. Okay, to end up on a cross. But this man who lived a life of repute ends up the first person in paradise. I'm telling you, if God is not showing us, look, this is my heart. You need to get where I am about people, because you can't be them guys talking about, Lord, I preached 47 years, and they threw rocks at me in the pulpit. Somebody threw some motor oil on me. And, you know, and this guy just got off crack, came to church, relapsed, smoked some crack and died, and now he go to heaven. Well, that's the way we see it. But God is looking at the eternal life. He is looking at what the Father said in that story about the prodigal son. My son was dead. That thief on the cross was dead, but now he's come back to life. So this man, you know, he made people mad, you know, everybody made the same deal. If you believe in Jesus, you go to heaven. Yeah, that's the deal. But, you know, it'll be people there, like I say, like Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3, they'll be smelling like smoke, but they there. They made it in, so as by fire, just made it in. But then you really make it in because you accept Christ. But God wants us to know that he loves everybody. You can't look at somebody that God does not love. And when you look at people who do horrendous things to other people, just remember Paul, who wrote 13 books of the Bible, killed Christians, put them in jail, broke up families. And when he had tore up enough people and families in Jerusalem, he was headed for Damascus to do the same thing. What did Jesus do? Even Ananias had a problem with Jesus. He was like, when Jesus went to talk to him, he said, I got a man down at Judas' house on Straight Street. I need you to go down there and check him out. Ananias is like, wait a minute, Saul down there. He tore up the church in Jerusalem, and now he come here to tear us up. And you telling me to go where he is? But Jesus said, don't worry about it. He's praying. He has already seen the man, you coming in, laying hands on him, and him receiving his sight. So Ananias went on down there. But you can imagine how people felt about Saul, who is now Paul, Saul Paulus. You know, you can imagine how they felt when Peter and them saw him. And it was the church of Jerusalem, James' church, he tore up. So you can imagine how they felt when this last person walks up, and they're the first person. We were with Jesus for 3 years. And here you come. You see the problem they had in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. They didn't even want to pay him and the people who traveled with him. They didn't want to take care of them. They just felt like, hey, you that 13th apostle, and we still ain't really feeling you all the way. So, and Paul had to go, and the Lord allowed it to, in the Bible, to have his argument. And call, if Paul wasn't forever calling Peter on the carpet, he did it in Galatians chapter 2, and he did it in 1 Corinthians 9. Because the Jerusalem church was like, dude, you wasn't here. And they was like, Paul is like, well, I'm doing the work. I don't care when I got here, I'm doing the work. And so there was an uneasiness there. And this story really highlights God wants us to have a heart for people like he has. And even if they're coming in at the last minute, they're coming in. That's all he looks at. The father, I mean, really, that story, the prodigal son, this boy trying to give his confession, the father putting clothes and rings and sandals on him. He wants to be a servant. He's being dressed as a son. So all the Lord looks at is he's back. I don't care what he did. I care about what he did, and I care that what he did drove him back. So, yeah. Okay, Kat, I'm through preaching. You just got me all kind of, you know.
You got a singing with it.
And so I looked up, while he was explaining, I looked up that what a denarius is. It says 3/4 grams of silver, a half of a shekel worth 2 days of labor in the vineyard. Mm-hmm. So.
Okay, so they were getting overpaid anyway. Even the
everybody, right?
That's good.
But you know they were really considered jealous. But God don't want us to be jealous and envy of others, you know. And so because you never know when your blessing's gonna come. They might have been blessed that time, you know, but that was for them. What's for them is for them. And then they have favor. And grace is unmerited, undeserved favor. It can't be earned, and it is freely given. And so that it was his time. It was their time. And it said in here, so the last shall be first and the first last. And this reminded the disciples that while there is reward for faithful service to God, they must not think about it in strictly human terms. God gives freely according to his grace. Okay? So undeserved favor. We don't deserve anything. God, he died on the Christ for us, on the cross for us, you know. And so what do we deserve? You know, so much. So by them grumbling and complaining, it didn't change anything. They got their denarial, and they went on about their business. And like I said, instead of them rejoicing and being happy for others, like we're supposed to be happy for others when they get blessed. You can't look at them and say, oh, they don't deserve that. Only God knows. Okay? We all get our turn for everything. Now, for our blessing. Okay, so let's go to the questions. You know, we're going to go through the questions. If we have any comments or, you know, stories or whatever that we want to tell that we could relate to in this lesson, then after the questions, we could do that, okay? So the questions are... 7, and so the first question is, why did Jesus use parables in describing the kingdom of heaven?
Okay. At the bottom of the first paragraph, I had these stories describe what is involved in it. For the kingdom of heaven is like these stories describe what is involved in living under God's rule. The parable in the passage tells of a man who owned a large vineyard at harvest time. He needed a number of laborers to pick the grapes. So he went out early in the morning to hire his labor, his workers.
Okay, where are you, Eric?
Well, I got before what Eric read.
Well, you got the one on top. The Gospel
on top.
Of Matthew.
The Gospel of Matthew contains numerous parables that Jesus used in his teaching ministry to clarify what he was teaching.
Continue.
Yeah.
I did that whole section. Many of the parables began for the kingdom of heaven is like. And then these stories describe what is involved in living under God's rule.
Right, living under God's rule. So, like I said, many of the parables, it was to teach and to clarify what he was trying to teach, okay, in his ministry. And it said, these stories describe what is involved in living under God's rule. Okay, so that was number one. So why did Jesus use parables as he described what the kingdom of heaven is like? Okay, he wanted to get you there. He wants to get you to heaven.
Okay, hold. Well, what's the answer, though?
Oh, it's the first paragraph. It says the Gospel of Matthew contains numerous parables.
Okay, so that's the whole first paragraph.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Is that correct? Okay, all right. Thank you. That's what I was trying to find out. Okay.
Yeah, and it's just stories to get us where we need to be under God. He wants us to be under his rule and do things his way. Okay, so he teaches us and gives a parable about certain situations, about this story, this lesson that we just learned. We're supposed to get something out of this. And, to live under God's rule. Okay?
Yeah, I just had that last sentence. I see now what I had. I just had that last sentence. These stories describe what is involved in living under God's rule. That's all I had.
Yeah, it goes with that. Yeah. Yes, sir. Thank you. Number two, what agreement did the owner make with the first shift of workers?
The parable in this passage tells of a man who owned a large vineyard. At harvest time, he needed a number of laborers to pick the grapes. So he went out early in the morning to hire his workers. The standard wage for work like this was a penny, verse 2 says, or denarius per day. The man and the laborers agreed to these terms, and he sent them into the vineyard at the beginning of the work day, which was 6 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So that's what it was. He promised them a standard wage. Work like this was a penny or a denarius per day. Okay. So that was the agreement. Thank you, Ms. Irma. Mother Irma, how did the agreement with the later shift differ from that with the first shift?
He went back to the marketplace around the third hour or 9 o'clock and found some men there who were willing to work. Instead of agreeing on a set wage for them, the man promised to give whatever was right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's fair. So he did not make a promise to pay the same wage, just what was right. So like I said, it was in his heart. You know, most time sometimes we don't ask the person, well, how much I'm going to get paid? What you going to pay me? You know, like that. You know, you kind of mess up your blessing, you know.
Okay, I have a question.
So you could just, you know, if someone asks you to do something, then you could, okay, go ahead and do it, and you just never know what's going to come out of that, taxes, if you get nothing, but you never know what's going to come out of that if you just go ahead and agree to work or do what someone asks you to do. Okay, so because they agreed, and in his heart, you know, I don't know if he had planned to give them that in the beginning, or he just saw how they worked, and or just the fact that they agreed to do it because he had to get that work done. Okay.
In the end,
they got a blessing for agreeing to work. Uh-huh.
I like the NLT version of that, of verse 3. It's at 9 o'clock in the morning, he was passing through the market and saw some people standing around doing nothing. So I'm getting out of that. I'm getting that if you're not working for the Lord, you're doing nothing.
Mm.
Okay.
Right. And they were willing to work.
So
yeah.
I don't know. I guess we might have to ask Pastor. Oh, that one. Did these guys know what a fair day's wage was? You know, they agree into. I'm assuming they must know what a fair day's wage was.
But do we know what a fair day's wage is today?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, it varies. It varies.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Pastor.
Yeah, you're right. Vitra's hit the nail right on the head. It's the same as the day before it was back then, a living wage. And then
okay.
as it is today, I think a living wage is somewhere between argument. I remember when people were fighting to get 15, now we're fighting for 20, but I guess now it was 15, now it's 20. So a person can actually live. Then it was a denarius. That was the day's wages. Remember the story? I don't know who taught the lesson. I think it was maybe Naomi taught that when the man called him in and said, pay up. And the man owed so much money he just couldn't pay it. And then he went out and found somebody who owed him 100 denarii.
Yeah.
That meant 100 days that debt could have been paid. So, yeah. They knew what it was. They knew what the deal was. Plus, he made it plain.
Okay.
Now, yeah, I'm going to say that, but because there's some questions coming up, that's going to be a little bit, you know, what he said the first time might not be what he said the second time.
Okay.
That's why you got to pay attention when they tell about how much you're going to get paid. Because one group he told them a certain amount, another group he, you know, there you go.
What a fair wage. Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
She brought up the living wage and the minimum wage. That's a good comparison. Mm-hmm. Thanks, baby.
Well, yeah, you got the big three getting ready to strike because of wages. What they consider fair and what the owners consider fair, they're far, far apart. So that's the world.
Right. Okay, good conversation. Number four, at what times of the day did the owner recruit workers?
On page 56, at noon and then again at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the owner went back to the marketplace to get more workers each time. He found more available laborers to join those already in the vineyard. Amen?
Amen.
And he made the same agreement with those workers as well. Okay. Number five. How did the owner instruct the steward to pay the workers?
He did.
Lower down where it says compensation for the laborers, procedure for wages. In chapter 20 of Matthew, it says when the evening came, the owner gave his steward specific instructions about paying the laborers. This was a payday that was certain to be remembered by all the workers. Is mine right?
Mm-hmm.
Stewart.
Yep. Okay. Number five. Yep. Let's see. Yep. Then he came on the day with two specific instructions. Okay. So they got paid that day, but they, you know, had a problem with the payday. Okay. Number six. The difference in pay. Number six says, why was the final shift of workers surprised at their wages?
Number six. Why was the final shift of workers surprising? Oh, because what I have, this was 12 times what they expected or deserved. The owner had compensated them according to his goodness, not according to what they had earned. Amen? No?
Right. It was according to his goodness. Like I said, he was blessed to have a good crop. And so he did what was in his heart. Knowing they had families and responsibilities, and you know, like I was saying earlier, when you get a blessing or overflow of something, a blessing of money, financial, whatever, and God puts in your heart to share yours with someone, you know, you don't know who it's going to be you give it to. But yeah.
It's so often news about having two coats. You give one to another, you got two, they don't have any.
Right.
So,
yeah. Right. Yeah. So he gave them a whole denarius. It was a full denarius, 12 times what they expected or deserved. Right. Okay. Number seven. Why were the first workers disappointed?
Well, the first shift of workers knew what the group that had worked for only 1 hour had received. That's not.
So go down and see the first group that knew what the group had worked. Okay. Did you say up there in 2010, the first shift the workers knew what the group had worked for, only an hour
yes.
had received? Okay. And then go down to say if the last shift had been surprised.
And I had a number seven on the side of that one, too, because I didn't know which one of them it was. If the last shift had been surprised to get a full denarius, the first shift was stunned by receiving the same amount.
Yeah. So he gave them exactly what they had agreed to as the wage, no less and no more. And so in their own minds, they supposed that they would receive more than the wages they had agreed to. That was not, in fact, the case.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, that same kind of stuff happens in drag racing. You know, you get a guy who's been drag racing, like, for years, right, and never have won a race or a round. Then you get a guy who puts together a team. He's a rookie at team ownership. He's a pretty good driver, but, you know, he's just his whole team is a rookie. And then they come out and win six races in a row. Other guys get and girls get mad saying, I've been here for years, and I haven't won one race. And here you are. They'll say you were just lucky. No.
First begin as well.
We all had the same opportunity to win the race. I won. Don't be mad at me because I won. They say if you beat everybody, you win. I beat all you guys, I won. And girls. The girls are really hard to beat. They are really different. But anyway, that same thing happens. You could take the same scenario into a life. Like we used to get mad in the Navy when the guy would come from officer's training school, never been on a ship before, but you're my CO. You're my commanding officer, right? But you don't know where, you don't know how to get up and down the stairs. And so that same thing, it happens everywhere. Right. Somebody get hired in on the job. You find out they're making more than you. You know what I mean? And y'all pretty much got the same job. So, you know, this stuff happens all through, you know, not just in this type of scenario, but it happens in a lot of different ways. Yeah. We get mad because somebody like, oh, boy, here's a good one. How many knew Solomon Kinloch before he became the pastor of Triumph? And then all of a sudden, these churches have been around here for how long? Years.
Right.
And this boy come up out of nowhere, he just can't stop getting members. And everybody mad in the neighborhood, all the pastors anyway, they mad. I wasn't a pastor at that time. But they accusing him of stealing their members. He just started preaching who he think he is, and he wasn't acting like that at all. And so they shunned him so bad, he just went off to be like he is right now, because they shunned the crap out of him because he was a rookie. And here he is gathering up all these members. Who is he? And so this scenario, you know, it plays itself out in a lot of different ways. But in every which one of those ways, God is able to do what he wants. And always remember this. John the Baptist taught this to me when I was feeling really bad about something. And I was just tore up and couldn't understand why God would let this like that. And I just couldn't get to it. And then I'm watching this DVD, The Gospel of John. And John's disciples were kind of tripping on Jesus because he was down there with his disciples and they was baptizing. And John's disciples say, you know that guy you told us the other day, the Lamb of God, all that stuff? Well, that guy down there baptizing, everybody going to him. And John explained to them, he the Christ, I ain't, okay? I got to shrink, he got to grow, right? And then John spoke these words. He said, remember this. No man can have anything unless God gives it. I wasn't looking for that to a fix to my problem per se. I was just reading or just watching the DVD. And he said that changed my whole life. I mean, changed the whole situation, not whole life, but changed that whole situation. I immediately understood what the Lord was saying to me. And sometimes we have to trust God. Because sometimes we look at his choices like, when I look at me being a pastor, I'm like, Jesus, you got to be joking. This got to be a joke, okay? And when I thought that he was serious, I even went off on me and said, now look, Jesus, you sound serious. You know me. Unless you're trying to set something up to tear it up, I don't know what you're talking about, you know. And, of course, he knew what he was talking about, but like I say, this scenario plays as I didn't feel like I should be a pastor. You know, so we can even do it to ourselves, feel like that's not me. I can't do that. Why not? If God chooses to put you in that position, nobody can get you out of it like David. Saul wasn't feeling David, but God was putting David up. God has had Samuel go anoint him. Nothing could stop it now. Once that happened, nothing could stop it. And Saul kind of knew that. So he's looking out for Jonathan, so he's going to kill David so Jonathan can keep the kingdom. Didn't work, though. Because when God got a thing, he got it. And, you know, this is an awesome story. It really is. It just really helps us to understand God's heart. It is that big that somebody who only worked an hour get the same thing as people who worked all day. So you have to really go to the bottom line. And the bottom line is he treats everybody the same. Simple as that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, everybody the same.
That's hard. That's hard. When you're in the world and that flesh and blood, you be mad, boy.
I'm telling you.
You be mad because I was telling on myself. I was the first person in the office, last person in the office. I've been there longer than some of the people that came in. They coming in making $10,000 more than me. Oh, you talk about mad. I didn't care. But now you put in this, you know, now I'm hearing this story, and there's a reason, and there's no reason to be mad because whatever he has for me, he has for me. But back then, there was some pretty choice words that Avitris was saying.
Hey,
I hear you. I hear you. I've been through it. I mean, this guy, just because he went to school, and this was when I was at Wearmaster, they hired him in, and this boy, alcoholic, but they don't know it. I see it right off the bat. But anyway, they hired him in. He make more than I do. And just because he went, I'm like, well, I'm licensed. I went to school. Well, you've been out. He just got out. Really?
What?
Really?
Somebody come in. You come in, and I've been there 12 years. You've been there maybe 4 or 5 years, and you making 10 grand more than me. Oh, yeah, it was some things being done. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it happens. That's what I thought about them things, and this scenario plays itself out over and over all day. But, you know, in the end, you know, the owner, it all comes down to the owner, and whatever they want to do, they can do. Like the man said, are you mad at me because I'm being generous with what's mine? It's amazing. But we do. We get mad. I know I did. So I outworked them. That's what I did. I outworked them, and then I made more than they did. And then I tried to leave, and they wouldn't let me. Have you ever tried to quit, and they literally told you could not do it?
Yeah.
Have you ever quit a job, and they came to your
house?
And they came to your house and hollered outside your house saying, come back to work, you can't quit? That literally happened to me.
Nah, I wasn't that good.
After Jesus started, after I started listening to him, I started working, you know, to please him and not them. And he made me such a good employee, they wouldn't let me leave. That happened twice. I had to fight to get my tools out of Wearmaster. I'm taking my stuff out, and the owner has arrived. And he's putting them back in, saying you can't leave. And I'm like, Jesus, I will knock him straight out, but I didn't, and I got to leave. And there you go. But, yeah, you know, it'll make you angry, that's for sure.
Conversation. Well, I think we're on number 8. Why did the first workers murmur against the owner? I had charges of unfairness, Matthew 20:11-12 verse.
Yeah, 11 through 12.
Okay, I had the first shift laborers began to grumble. The workers who had started later in the day that had received much more per hour than they had. Their way of thinking, it seemed only right that they should be paid a bonus. The earlier workers were offended that the latecomers were treated as well as they. Instead of rejoicing for the others, they insisted that those who had worked just 1 hour had no right to be compensated as the owner had determined. Consequently, those who had labored all day began to criticize the owner, accusing him of being unjust and unfair in his dealings.
And so they thought it was unjust and unfair. And, you know, they had, you know, the earlier shift had worked, you know, in the rougher part of the day because it was hot and it was just hot and sweaty, and that was the part of the hot day. It was out in the sun, and he felt like they had treated them equally, which, like you said, God treats everybody the same, and he had made the two groups equal. And so they, like I said, they had been in the heat all day, and the last shift came in at the end of the day, and they worked in the cooler evening breeze where it was cooler. So it was much harder to work during the day. So, like I said, that was their thinking, and, you know, which sounds pretty, you know, on point, but he still made everybody the same. They considered them as being latecomers, and they were, you know, treated as well as they were, in which God treats everyone the same. So.
But like you said, Sister Kathy, a denarius is equal 2 days' pay, right? So ones that grumble were getting more than they should have.
Yeah, but they had, and I don't know how many days they worked, because it did say that they were promised a denarius, one penny or one denarius per day. Mm-hmm. So, and at any rate, they all got the same. Because it didn't exactly say that they worked 2 days, but they said that in the beginning when they made the agreement that it said the standard wage for work like this was a penny or a denarius per day. Okay. So if they got a denarius, then they worked, I guess, 2 days. Did they all get one denarius or two? Because it did say a denarius is 2 days' pay. So I guess that's saying that they all did get 2 days' pay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so the owner was extremely generous with everybody.
Yeah. Okay, number 9. How did the owner show that their charge of injustice was not justified?
Number 9, how did the owner show their charge of injustice was not justified? I have the last sentence at choice of grace, because they had received the complete wage to which they had agreed. Their charge of injustice could not be sustained. The owner had not defrauded them at all. He urged the worker to take his denarius and go his way rather than complain about it. No?
Okay. Yeah, that was it. It was the all the way from apparently the owner took one and then the side, and they ended where you stopped way rather than complaining. He urged the workers to take his bidders and go his way rather than complaining about it. And he just showed that it was not injustice by explaining to them that they agreed to
his money.
That pay, and that he had given them the complete wage to which they had agreed. And so that made their charge of injustice not sustainable. Okay. He went to him man to man, let him know this is how it was. This is how it is. So be happy rather than complain. Number 10. How does the parable illustrate God's grace to people?
Well, anyway, I have down at the bottom, it says, this reminded the disciples that while they're,
what are you reading that?
They're willing for faithful service to God, they must not think about it in strictly human terms. God gives freely according to his grace.
Amen.
Thank you. Amen. Yep. Is that right, Miss Ma'am?
Right. Gives freely according to his grace. Right.
Okay.
So we have to be happy for others. God gives freely according to his grace. Like I said, grace is unmerited favor. And he blesses you accordingly. So we should be happy for others and what they receive because you never know where your blessing is or where your blessing is going to come from. Because if we want people to be happy for us, we should be happy for others. It's not about about me or you, you know. So we have to be happy for others. Okay? Okay, could someone go to Matthew 19:16-30 and Matthew 20:20-28 and Luke 13:22-30. The first one is Matthew 19:16-30 and 20:20-28 and Luke 13:20-30.
Okay, Matthew 19:30 reads as follows.
Mm-hmm.
Someone came to Jesus with this question. Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life? Why ask me about what is good? Jesus replied, there is only one who is good. But to answer your question, if you want to receive eternal life, keep the commandments. Which ones? The man asked. And Jesus replied, you must not murder. You must not commit adultery. You must not steal. You must not testify falsely. Honor your father and mother. Love your neighbor as yourself. I've obeyed all these commandments, the young man replied. What else must I do? Jesus told him, if you want to be perfect, go and sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in and come follow me. But when the young man heard this, he went away sad, for he had many possessions. Then Jesus said to his disciples, I tell you the truth, it is very hard for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven. I'll say it again. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were astounded. Then who in the world can be saved? They asked. Jesus looked at them intently and said, humanly speaking, it is impossible, but with God, everything is possible. Then Peter said to him, we've given up everything to follow you. What will we get? Jesus replied, I assure you that when the world is made new and the Son of Man sits upon his glorious throne, you who have been my followers will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has given up houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or property for my sake will receive 100 times as much in return and will inherit eternal life. But many who are the greatest now will be least important then. And those who seem least important now will be the greatest then. Amen.
Amen. Wait a minute. I have my phone on speaker.
Okay. Okay, good deal. Okay, and so no wonder I couldn't hear. Okay, 16. So in the footnotes it says this is to this man seeking assurance of eternal life. Jesus pointed out that salvation does not come from good deeds unaccompanied by love for God. The man needed a whole new starting point instead of adding another commandment to keep or good deed to perform. The young man needed to submit humbly to the lordship of Christ. And let's see. And 30 says, Jesus turned the world's values upside down. Consider the most powerful or well-known people in our world. How many got where they are by being humble, self-efficing, and gentle? Not many. But in the life to come, the last will be first. Don't forfeit eternal rewards for temporary benefits. Be willing to make sacrifices now for greater rewards later. Be willing to accept human disapproval while knowing that you have God's approval. Amen. Okay. Do anybody have, let me see. And then I said in that one, just giving freely, God loves a cheerful giver, giving freely, not begrudging or of necessity. And God loves a cheerful giver. Because he is able to bless you abundantly, all time, having all you will need, abound in every good work. And that is 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 8. Love a cheerful giver. Okay, so do someone have a... Matthew 20:20-28. Jesus teaches about serving others.
I have it, I think.
Okay.
Then the mother of James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to Jesus with her sons. She knelt respectfully to ask a favor. "What is your request?" he asked. She replied, "In your kingdom, please let my two sons sit in places of honor next to you, one on your right and the other on your left." But Jesus answered by saying to them, "You don't know what you're asking. Are you able to drink from the bitter cup of suffering I am about to drink?" "Oh, yes," they replied, "we are able." Jesus told them, "You will indeed drink from my bitter cup, but I have no right to say who will sit on my right or my left. My Father has prepared those places for the ones he has chosen." When the 10 other disciples heard what James and John had asked, they were indignant, but called them together and said, "The rulers in this world lord it over their people, and officials flaunt their authority over those under them. But among you it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first among you must become your slave. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. Oh, man, that was 20 through 28. And so, 2020. So it says, the mother of James and John came to Jesus and knelt to respect him to ask a favor. She gave Jesus worship, but her real motive was to get something from him. Too often this happens in our churches and in our life. We play religious games expecting God to give us something in return. True worship, however, adores and praises Christ for who he is and for what he has done. The mother of James and John asked Jesus to give her son special positions in the kingdom. Parents naturally want to see their children promoted and honored, but this desire is dangerous if it causes them to stand in the way of God's specific will or their children. God may have different work in mind for them, perhaps not as glamorous, but just as important. Thus, parents' desires for their children's advancement must be held in check as they pray that God's will be done in their children's lives. Okay? And that was 28 says, a ransom was the price paid to release a slave from bondage. Jesus often told his disciples that he must die, but there he told them why. He redeemed all people from the bondage of sin and death. The disciples thought that as long as Jesus was alive, he could save them. But Jesus revealed that only his death would save them, and only his death would save them and the world. Okay. In this one, it says, Jesus described leadership from a new perspective. Instead of using people, we are to serve them. Jesus' mission was to serve others and to give his life away. A real leader has a servant's heart. Servant leaders appreciate others' worth and realize that they're not above any job. If you see something that needs to be done, don't wait to be asked. Take the initiative and do it like a faithful servant. Okay? Amen. And so if your neighbor needs his grass cut and you see it's overgrown and he might be having a hard time, go over there and cut it. And I say that because my neighbor is in the hospital right now, and his grass needs to be cut. He's been in the back and forth and not the hospital. And so my neighbor behind me, Mr. Uncle John Overall, he always come over and ride his lawnmower and cut our neighbor's grass, and we just kind of help our neighbor while he's down, you know, right now. So we're gonna pray for him because he's in the hospital right now and need our prayers. But yes, so don't wait until someone asks you to do it. If you see it need done, just do it. Be like Nike, just do it. Okay. Yeah. One Jesus' death was saved. Okay, so Jesus gave his life. Mm-hmm. Okay, and the last one was 13:22-30. And if anybody has that, they can read it. Oh, I can read it. Let me see, Luke 13:22-30. Okay. Anybody want to read it? Luke 13:22-30. Going once, going twice. Okay.
I got it.
And it says, okay. Go for it. Jesus teaches about entering the kingdom. Okay.
You got it, Deacon?
I can't hear you.
Do you have it, the passage, Luke 13:22-30?
No, I can get it.
Okay.
She
could go ahead.
There we go. It says, okay. Jesus went through the towns and villages, teaching as he went, always pressing on toward Jerusalem. Someone asked him, Lord, will only a few be saved? He replied, work hard to enter the narrow door to God's kingdom, for many will try to enter but will fail. When the master of the house has locked the door, it will be too late. You will stand outside knocking and pleading, Lord, open the door for us. But he will reply, I don't know you or where you come from. Then you will say, but we ate and drank with you, and you turned in your street. And he will reply, I tell you, I don't know you or where you come from. Get away from me, all you who do eat. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for you will see Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God. But you will be thrown out. And people will come from all over the world, from the east and west, north and south, to take their places in the kingdom of God. And note this, some who seem least important now will be the greatest then, and some who are the greatest now will be the least important then. Oh, so I'm going to be cool because I'm in the least now. So I'm cool.
Okay, hold your boat. Good deal.
Okay. You ain't boasting about it. I'm just saying.
I didn't say boast. I said boat.
I'm just saying. I'm not boasting about it. I'm just there.
Good deal. Praise the Lord.
I didn't
say boast.
Kathy, we got a new scripture today.
Huh?
You hear me?
The last scripture. Uh-huh.
No, the first one.
The first scripture,
Matthew.
Was, it's at the top of your book. It's at the top of all the related scriptures. It's at the top of God's gracious rewards in the first page of your book on page 56.
Chapter 19, verse 16-30.
Right.
And then there's another one. Chapter 20, verses 20-28. Those are both under Matthew.
Okay.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then we had Luke 13, verse 22-30.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. I see it now.
Right.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So in that one, it says, it says that this is the second time Luke reminds us that Jesus was intentionally going to Jerusalem. The other time is in 951. Jesus knew he was on his way to die, but he continued preaching to large crowds. The prospect of death did not deter Jesus from his mission. Finding salvation requires more concentrated effort than most people are willing to put forth. Obviously, we cannot save ourselves. There is no way we can work ourselves into God's favor. We work hard to enter through the narrow door by earnestly desiring to know Jesus and diligently striving to follow him, whatever the cost. We dare not put off making this decision because the door will not stay open forever. The people were eager to know who would be in God's kingdom. Jesus explained that although many people know something about God, only a few have acknowledged their sins and accepted his forgiveness. We may not necessarily see the people we expect to find in the kingdom of God. Some perfectly respectable religious leaders claiming allegiance to Jesus will not be there because they were not true followers and secretly were morally corrupt. Just listening to Jesus' words or admiring his miracles is not enough. We must turn from sin and trust in God to save us. God's kingdom will include people from every part of the world, Israel's rejection of Jesus as Messiah would not stop God's plan. True Israel includes all people who believe in Christ. This was an important fact for Luke to stress as he was directing his good news to a Gentile audience. God's kingdom will have many surprises. Some who are despised now will be greatly honored then, and some influential people here will be left outside the gates. Many great people on this earth in God's eyes are virtually ignored by the rest of the world. What matters to God is not a person's earthly popularity, status, wealth, heritage, or power, but his or her commitment to Christ. How do your values match those of the Bible? Put God in first place, and you will join people from all over the world who will take their places at the feast in the kingdom of heaven. That's the word. So those to say, like, the last will be first and the first shall be last. It don't matter what your status is or in life or what we've done. Just what we do for only what we do for Christ will last.
Okay? I like that example Pastor O gave when my man was on the cross at the last minute. He put his deed in and he was successful. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was an excellent example there.
Yeah, I know one day I needed some work. Oh, okay. If I could be permitted to read this right quick, because I had a person that was listening. Actually, my nephew was listening. He was saying it was, he enjoyed the class. And he said, one day my grandfather needed some work done around the house. So he employed his grandsons. It was my brother, Marjo, my cousin, Lainey, Tyson, and myself. We painted the garage, put tile in basement, cut grass, et cetera. So it comes time to settle up to dish out the money. I'm impatiently thinking about the things I was going to buy before he pays me. I was hella excited. Okay. So he paid Marjo $60. I was like, whoa, I got excited because he was just bossing everybody around and he wasn't doing nothing in my eyes. Then he gave Lainey $60. I was like, heck, Lainey should get more than Marjo, but okay. Then he hit Tyson with $40. I got worried because Tyson was pretty much not doing much work either, but he's older than me. Then it was time to pay the hardest working guy on the team and the youngest. Right. On the team and the youngest. He said, me, with an exclamation point. He said, I was thinking, like, he should pay me more than Tyson. Then Granddad hit me with that 20. I was upset, very upset. It took everything in me not to report him to the labor board. Call the teamsters. A labor board. Call the Teamsters or somebody. I finally said something. I said, you gave me $20 in a surprised voice, angry. Then he hit me with the best rebuttal I currently use to this day. He said, are you bragging or complaining? He said, are you bragging or complaining? He said, in closing, happy 91st birthday, Granddad. I guess that's when he says, are you bragging or complaining? So. He said, I didn't know how to answer back without being out of line, so I came home and complained to my mom. She said, she laughed, but also he made me read the newspaper with him, and I fell asleep, and he said, I docked your pay for sleeping. Then I got mad when I came downstairs and Lainey was doing part of my job. Okay, so. Are you bragging or are you complaining? So, yeah. Yeah, so he was at work, so he couldn't stay on, and he sent this story to me. I'm like, cool.
So that was that went right with the whole lesson, and so he said he really enjoyed that lesson. Amen. Okay, so let me see.
I enjoyed it too.
I had another story to tell, but we are like out of time. I was doing my lesson over my little vacation that I took, and then I was able to answer this question that I was asked, you know, in response with my Bible study that I was passing. I grabbed it out, and we started talking about it. So I don't know. This is really too late to talk about it, but hopefully I gave him all the right answers. He still was a little bit confused about why he was given some, he had some brand new shoes, and his mom made him give his brand new shoes to a cousin that had some old shoes, and he had to wear his shoes. And so I just, bottom line, I told him, but look where you are today. You know, what has God blessed, look what God has blessed you with, and what did you learn from that lesson? And he said that he learned that when he get older, he's going to make sure that his kids have shoes and his brother have shoes and things like that. And so, and I just repeatedly said, well, look where you are today. You have shoes. You have plenty of shoes, more shoes than you need. And you have everything God has blessed you with. So, you know, there we go. I said, we talked to Pastor O about it one day, because this seems like this was a year. I think he said he was 12 or 13 or something. And he's still thinking about this, you know. So that sounds like a counseling session to me. Okay. But we did talk about it within this lesson. And he did, you know, get something out of it. And we'll just have another conversation about it at another time, because it is late. And I don't know, he might be listening. Anyway, so let me see. In closing, I'm going to read the golden text illuminated on page 58. Okay? And it says, the man said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, I will give you. And they went their way. Matthew 24. The parable of the laborers in the vineyard has always provoked much comment. It has much to teach us about how God's ways are higher than our ways. Our golden text focuses on one of the ways this truth should affect our behavior. After initially hiring some workers for his vineyard, the employer in the parable finds about 3 hours later that there are others standing idle. And so he hires them as well. The key part of the verse concerns the wages for these new workers. Instead of specifying how much they would receive, he simply says he will give them whatsoever is right. Okay? What this points to is one of the foundational teachings of Scripture, that we are to live our lives by faith in God. And this particular parable emphasizes that this faith includes trusting God's goodness. By trusting in the fairness of the employer who can again stand for God, these latecomers to the vineyard would enjoy the same benefits as those who were hired at the start. At the heart of God's goodness is his grace. If we fail to understand that what we receive from God is not related to the extent or quality of our labor, but instead to the simple free grace of the Savior, we will find ourselves without a true grasp of who we are, who God is, and the only way we can have a relationship with him. Amen. So that's powerful. Yeah. Until we get a relationship with God, and to extend our quality of labor, but instead to the simple free grace of ourselves, we will find ourselves without a true grasp of who we are, who God is, and the only way we can have a relationship with him. I love that. Mhm. Yeah.
So that's it. Anybody have any comments, concerns, questions?
Very good lesson.
Thank you. It was good. Yeah.
Agree.
It was good. Mm-hmm.
Good class.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Okay. Pastor O, take it away.
You made me think it was sassy. I'm getting ready to play a song.
Uh-huh,
but anyway,
take it away.
This is a good lesson. God's gracious rewards. I mean, I talk to the Lord about that all the time. I'm like, Jesus, mm-hmm. like what? I'm like, you do everything, and everything we do, you do through us, and every right thing we say, you say through us. But if we mm-hmm. do those things and say those things, you reward. Yeah, can I do what I want to do? I have everything. I got too much stuff, so I'm giving it away. Take it like that. But that's just mm-hmm. the way God is. He know who he is, and he know what he has and what he can do. And he chooses to give us the kingdom. It is the Father's good pleasure to give his children the kingdom. And when you're talking about the kingdom, that's all that God is. One day I was asking him, Lord, will we be bored in heaven, like after we get over the excitement and stuff? And will it become like the world is, you know? I don't want to do that no more. I need something new. And he told me that he is infinite. Do you know what that means? I said, yes, you taught me that you are, oh, wow. That means he'll never run out of things for us to do. We'll never. And look, we're talking eternity. You'll never get bored in eternity. That is amazing. But anyway, our Father is just like that. He really demonstrates it in this, that he created the heavens and the earth, and he gave it to Adam and Eve. All of this universe, because he lives in heaven, right? But he created the heavens above us, you know, and he gave it to them for their enjoyment, to enjoy, be fruitful and multiply it, enjoy, subdue the earth, make it yours. I put you in charge of this stuff under me. And so that's how he is. And who gives somebody a universe? But when you're God, you can do that. What rich man can give somebody give them life, then give them a universe? That's, you know, that when you think about it like that, $1 trillion is a dollar. It's, you know, it don't even amount to a nickel. But that's how God is, and I know sometimes we struggle with his forgiveness. We know we crapped out, and it wasn't even a mistake. We did it on purpose, and then later found out that it was a mistake. And instantly he forgives us. The flow is we confess, he forgives, cleanses. Just like that. And it's hard for us to, you know, accept that. But God is just that good. So, yeah, coming up, what's today? Wednesday. So we're looking at Friday. Bring back the family, 7 o'clock. Tune in. Call in. Shania Cox did an excellent job last week. Rebecca standing in the background, keeping them together. Just, I'm here. Okay. And Jackie Vandergrift. So tune in Fridays at 7 o'clock. Be a part of it. This Saturday is the fourth Saturday, so it will be Pastor Sarah Tate McClendon. She will be preaching this Saturday. And, of course, this Sunday is fourth Sunday, so that means Pastor Janice Tate will be preaching in the church this Sunday. So be sure to tune in Saturday so we can support the guest teacher. The guest teacher will be our own Deaconess Loretta Welch. So we want to be there to support her. She'll be taking over for Janice as she gets some much needed rest, because teaching three classes in a couple of days is a whole lot of fun. It weighs you straight out. So anyway, she's going to take a couple of weeks and get some rest. Preach while she's resting. But anyway, there you go. And then, of course, next week, Deacon Oliver Welch is going to end this quarter, and we'll be beginning the new quarter in September. Also, look out, November, we'll be coming with another class on Monday, but it will be, I believe, a 4 or 6 week class, so it won't be a real long class. You'll hear more about that as we near that date. Okay, that's all I got.
Amen. Well, thank you for all of that, and thanks, everyone, for listening. Just want to keep my neighbor Timothy Jones in prayer. He's in intensive care at Oakwood Hospital. I'm praying for him. And Rebecca or Eric, one of you guys want to pray us out?
Sure, I will.
Okay. Thank you.
Heavenly Father, thank you for waking us up again. Thank you for comfortable weather. Thank you for eyes that see it, ears that hear. Lord, thank you for this. Thank you for your word. Thank you for a new understanding and a new revelation of you as we have eaten meat and vegetables. Thank you for all the participants and all the listeners and for the teacher and for our pastor. And I'm going to be extra thankful for this lesson that we've learned and to ask for another new revelation and another new understanding of you so we can be more powerful. And, Lord, I just appreciate you, and we love you and praise you and thank you. And just
amen. Amen. Thank you. Gracious rewards. Take it away, Pastor.
All righty. Everybody have an awesome night, and we will see you guys on Friday night at 7 o'clock. See you then.
Yes. Bring back the time.
Outline our affections. Trace kindness from your acceptance of Christ's sacrifice. It gave us the ability to forgive those who sin against us, who lie and accuse, they frame and abuse, yet we get to choose to overlook the offense. And when we sin, we repent. Our hope exists from the seed of your kindness. We were blinded, dumbfounded, you led us to repentance. Our hearts wicked, conflicted, you fixed it, untwisted, unbent, double knots tied from sin. Your loving kindness stepped in and faith began. Turn hatred into compassion. Now we fashion the master's actions, and we have to go where he says go, speak what he says speak, following the footsteps that Jesus leads. As kindness leaks from the cross to the loss and the cost was paid, we give it all back to the one who saves by what we say and what we do to his creation. So with patience, we ask that you clean kindness to hearts hiding in ribcage. Let us fit lyrics that rave of his existence. Press kindness beyond the surface, so our work is more than just service to a community, but evidence of a divine unity of Father, Son, and Spirit at work behind the curtain of our lives. Let it soak in all our lives, 'cause you give life to those who pursue it. Let us subdue it, taste it, and chew it. As the Spirit feeds the seeds to our roots, let us trust in him and produce his fruit. As the Spirit feeds the seeds to our roots, let us trust in him and produce his fruit. Kindness.